This is KERA News. I'm Courtney Collins. Victims of domestic violence are often confronted with poverty when attempting to leave an abuser. The coronavirus outbreak has revealed a surge in domestic violence calls, many of them exceptionally violent. Reporter Christopher Connolly learned more about how abusers withhold money from victims and how this pandemic has created financial roadblocks for survivors. Hey, Chris.
Hi, Courtney.
So financial abuse or economic abuse is something that advocates are intimately familiar with. How exactly do abusers use money to control their victims?
Right. So folks who work in the domestic violence field, they have this tool that they call the power and control wheel. And basically what it does is it shows all sorts of different tactics that are commonly used by abusers to keep victims under their thumb. So, I mean, it includes violence, but it also includes threats, manipulation, coercion, intimidation. I talked to Catherine Jacob. She's the head of Safe Haven of Tarrant County, which does victim services and also runs a domestic violence shelter, as well as works with offenders to try to rehabilitate them.
Domestic violence is about power. It's about power and control. It's one person who has power over another person. It's one person whose world is getting bigger and someone else's world is getting smaller. And that's really the basis of all of domestic violence.
Jacob says controlling somebody's finances is a really key tool for abusers to limit their partner's independence. So if your boyfriend or husband doesn't let you get a job, you don't have any cash of your own. Victims often have to ask for money. They'll be given an allowance or have money withheld as a punishment. An abuser might also take a victim's money, take her earnings from a job, or deny her access to shared bank accounts or credit cards or other financial resources.
And one of the women you talked to, who we referred to simply as Jasmine to protect her identity, she fled her abusive husband years ago, right? But while that freed her from the violence, she says he then set about ruining her financially.
Yeah. So before she left, Jasmine didn't work outside the home. She was the caretaker for 7 children. And he controlled her money throughout the dozen years that they were married. If she needed to get groceries, she had to ask him for money. She didn't have access to their bank account. So when she left, she says she only had $78 in her pocket. And then after she left, he continued to affect her life through finances. So first, he sold the family business, sold all of the family's possessions, drained their bank accounts, and left the country. That left her really struggling with all of her kids, all of their kids. And so she and the kids stayed with friends. They moved around a bunch. For years, he would withhold child support and money that she should have gotten in the divorce. When he came back to the U.S., he harassed her clients for the business that she had set up to support herself. He harassed her friends who took care of her youngest kids while she worked. He also reported her car stolen. So it was relentless, but it was also tactical.
So basically, in his head, he said, if I make life impossible for her, she's going to come back to me. This is how he still thinks up till now.
Eventually, she was able to get an apartment for her and the kids, but under all of that financial strain that he was causing, they fell behind on rent and they got evicted. And there's also a coronavirus angle here. So in March, she was waiting for a court date where she was hoping that the judge was going to order her ex-husband to give her all this money that he owes her for all of these years that he's been withholding it. And that court date was canceled because of coronavirus, and it has yet to be rescheduled.
So you mentioned Jasmine's eviction. Housing is a big problem for domestic violence survivors. Can it actually be the difference between going back to an abusive partner or staying away from him?
Yeah, I mean, so one of the key things that Safe Haven does is its transitional housing programs. Like, you need somewhere to go if you're going to leave home where your abuser lives. A lot of survivors don't have resources for a down payment, or they don't have a job history that might make a landlord feel like they're going to be good tenants, able to pay the rent. Abusers can wreck their victim's credit. Survivors often have evictions on their records too, like Jasmine does. So, you know, those are all barriers to getting housing. Safe Haven also does job training and legal help for their clients too.
How does coronavirus fit into all this?
So again, abusers use every tool available to maintain power and control, right? That's how it works. So Safe Haven's Catherine Jacobs says that coronavirus comes along and it becomes another tool. So they're seeing abusers who are using it to restrict their partner's movements even more than usual. It can be used as a threat. Like, if you don't do what I want you to do, I'll put you out on the street where you're going to get COVID. Or they'll say, if you go out, you'll get sick and then you'll come back and make all of us sick. So you can't leave the house. Safe Haven and other domestic violence agencies have seen this major surge in violence because victims are forced to be at home with their abusers all day long. Also, if a victim's abuser has control of her bank account, she's not going to get her stimulus check. Elena Bangs from the Tarrant County District Attorney's Office says she's seen that happen in a bunch of cases where her office is prosecuting abusers.
We had defendants who had access to the bank account. Victims are in shelter or have moved to grandma's or have done whatever, and stimulus check came in, and now the abuser has taken it all. You know, well, the victim still has the kids and still needed it. And so we've litigated that in a way that we never thought we would in terms of a bond condition or something like that.
Bangs is the chief of the Intimate Partner Violence Unit at the Tarrant County DA's office. And she says this is one of several complications from coronavirus that they're having to sort through in order to prosecute these abusers, to try to bring them to justice.
Christopher Connolly is KERA's One Crisis Away reporter covering life on the financial edge. Chris, thanks so much.
Sure thing.
If you or someone you know is experiencing domestic abuse, you can find help by calling the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233.